Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm Joel Fragamenti, your host. We're talking Comedy Castle events for the week starting Tuesday, June 25th. It's going to be a fun week because Mary Santora is joining us for the weekend. It's been a couple of years since Mary's been to the club. Some things have changed. We'll get into that in Mary's life. We'll get into that in a second as we prep that interview. It was a fun interview. But let's tell you what's going on, and it's starting on Tuesday, the 25th this week. The Advanced Comedy Class Showcase. That is the show that we got for you. That's my students of the Advanced Comedy Class and special guests all performing for you. I got a really, really great group this time, guys, I got to tell you. This is going to be one of the best ones we've ever done. In addition to the great comics that took the class, the guests are outstanding. Billy Reno is going to be guesting for me on that one. Heather Sinow does some of the best, funniest impressions that I've ever heard. She's on the show as well. A young man named Adam Majors, who I'm very high on, who did my class a little bit ago. He's a guest too. Usually the guests, former students of mine. That's how that works. 7:30 p.m. Again, ComedyCastle.com has your tickets there. On Tuesday, the 25th, going to be a great show. And the students of the beginner comedy class, the 101 comedy class, they'll be doing their graduation showcase on Wednesday, the 26th. Again, at 7:30 p.m., Mary Santora comes in for her first date on Thursday, the 27th. And it should be a great show that night. Wes Ward and Sarah Young opening the show all weekend. So that's Thursday at 7:30. A single show on Friday at 7:15 p.m. That's the 28th of June. And then June 29th, 7 p.m. and 9:30. So two shows on Saturday with Mary and the gang. We got a couple of shows on Sunday, too. Cam Patterson. You may know Cam from Kill Tony. If you've seen Kill Tony and you're a fan of that show, you'll know who Cam is. That guy's out there. I'm watching clips of Cam lately. You guys wild. But Cam will be in for two shows at 4 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Although I will tell you, the 4 p.m. is the only one with tickets remaining. That was an added show. So if you want to see Cam Patterson, you're going to have to get yourself out there at 4 o'clock on the 30th of June. That's Sunday because Cam sold out the late show. We added sort of the, I guess normally you call it the early show, but that's the only evening show. And then we got the matinee at 4 p.m. With Cam Patterson. Looking forward to those. We had a big weekend with Dave Attell. I got to tell you about that a little bit before we get into what's going on. Dave was with us for six shows over four nights, sold out every single one. Incredible run there. Really fun. You know, Dave did his Hot Cross Buns Netflix special. And then put out a whole new bunch of comedy. He sat down. He wrote some jokes. They're as good as the other stuff. If you saw Hot Cross Buns and go, what's he going to do to follow up on that? Really, really funny stuff. All new material with Dave Attell was terrific. Great weekend at the Comedy Castle. So busy. So busy. I'm very tired. I'm very tired. Very tired. But Mary Santora's coming in, and I talked to her the other day. Great interview. You know, Mary's great. She's on the radio. I was bringing this up to her. I didn't know this was the case with Mary. She is doing this show in Cleveland, Ohio, on the radio, which she had been doing for a while there. But now she's doing that show, even though she moved to New York City to do comedy. She's now doing it from New York. That's right. Doing the Cleveland radio show out of New York City. She'll tell us how that works. And you'll also hear me. She also tells us some really interesting stuff about the New York City comedy club scene, which I didn't realize. When are the good spots? How do you get on? When do you get on? You'll find out on this interview, on this show. That's right, guys. I can speak. I haven't done a show in a couple of weeks, but I can still speak. I assure you. All right. What else? What else did we talk about in this? You know, growing up in Ohio, what that was like for her. If she misses doing the road in the Midwest like we all did, because boy, did we all do the road in the Midwest. Holy Toledo. Those Midwest one-nighters, nothing like them. They're out there. They're different. So she'll tell you a little bit about those two. It's a fun interview. I'm a really big fan of Mary. She's come in. She's open for Dave Attell and other people. She's headlined the club on her own, and it's great to have her back. So let's throw it to that right now, and we'll talk a little more afterwards. All right, here's Mary Santora for you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line here, it's an honor to have back on this show Mary Santora. Mary, how you doing today?
Hey, what's going on? I'm happy to be here. Yeah. It is hot, so anything I can do indoors, I'm happy about.
Where are you currently as I speak to you?
So I actually moved to New York City at the beginning of the year, January. Nice. I made the jump to the Big Apple from, you know, I've been a Midwest girl my entire life. I've never lived anywhere but Ohio. So definitely a huge change.
Yeah, I know. I was in New York for, I went to NYU for a semester.
Oh, okay.
In 1996. So that's dating myself.
Yeah, so you know exactly what it's like here today in 2024.
Well, here's the thing. I visited New York almost about once a year, you know, and it changes in like a couple of months.
Oh, yeah.
New York's insane that way. But I love it. That's why I go back all the time. So I'm sure you're having a great time. I mean, it's hard not to.
Oh, I mean, it's fantastic. Like the comedy is, there's a reason why it's the best place in the world for stand-up comedy. Yeah. Like, it's unlike anything I've ever experienced as far as like number of shows, the talent level on each show. It's just, it's a dream for someone who's in that kind of a business. And I'm sure it's like that for, you know, Broadway and dancing and, and everything really. So like the comedy part of it is fantastic. I have no complaints, but I will say the life part of it is so much harder. Well, let me ask. It's so hard to live here.
So but are you still doing the radio gig as well at this?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so that's nice.
I do radio Monday through Friday from 2 to 6:30 p.m. And it's an iHeart radio station. The show is called The Alan Cox Show, and it's broadcast in Cleveland, Ohio. But because it's iHeart Radio, which has studios all over the world, I can just go into Midtown Manhattan, press a couple buttons, and I'm connected right to Cleveland. So it's actually very easy and very convenient.
Yeah, that's terrific. I mean, heck, to keep that gig, because New York City, their rent's high, everything's high.
Oh my God, everything. It's just so funny because, I mean, people from Michigan, people from Ohio, anywhere in the Midwest, right, where I'm like, what I am paying for rent in New York City for to share an apartment, I could have a mansion on the lake in Ohio. Like, it's that's the part that's hard, where you're like, you know, you come from the Midwest where it's everything is convenient. You jump in your car and you drive 10 minutes away, right? Whereas things in New York, yes, I can walk to get a coffee in 2 or 3 minutes, but I live in Astoria, Queens. So it takes me an hour to take a train anywhere, you know, and then you're on public transit. So you have to deal with whatever might be on your train car that day. Yeah. And it's just, it's definitely an experience. It's definitely an adjustment. I've never not lived in a place with laundry. So having to take my stuff to a laundromat, like it's just, it's every single thing about your daily life is different. And so that it's like this crazy dichotomy of like relearning how to live and be homesick. I've never lived away from home. So it's just this huge craziness. But then at night is stand up. Yeah. And I know stand up. I've done stand up for 12 years. It's the best experience ever career wise. And it's, so it's just like it, when you say night and day, it is, because my day is like learning how to live again. And then my night is, oh, I've done this a million times, you know?
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, and was it easy to integrate yourself into the New York comedy scene? Did you have enough connections to where you could get spots easily?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. I'm not even going to try to sugarcoat it. I'm not like past it, the Comedy Cellar or anything like that yet. But I had a friend who is, you know, he's a big deal here in New York, and he vouched for me. So I got in at the Stand Comedy Club very early, within like my first week of being in New York City. And then I also do New York Comedy Club. So those are two of the top three, you know, so I'm doing pretty well in that sense. And then also just, you know, I've been doing stand-up for 12 years and I've gone all over the country. So a lot of people end up here. So people I've known from 10 years ago or 5 years ago in Portland that run a show here now. So, you know, having the experience I have of over a decade and the people that I've met in that time, it's made it a pretty smooth transition.
That's great. Yeah, that's a big thing for, you know, comics. I know comics come move out of Michigan and they're big deal and they go there and
hurts.
Yeah.
I'll definitely say that the big fish, small pond thing is very real, especially coming from, like, you know, being on a radio show in Cleveland. So really all I have to do is just announce a show and it's going to sell tickets. Right. And so out here, no one really cares who you are. They really don't care. Like, it's such a different level of talent and caliber of comedian that it's like, oh no, you were a big deal. Now you work your ass off again to become a big deal, you know?
Well, I know that anytime you return though, when you return to your hometown though, it's going to be the biggest deal. I don't know if you've done that yet.
No, I haven't. Well, that's scheduled for later this year.
When
so
you do,
we'll
there's a guy named Dave Landau, who you probably know.
Oh,
Mr.
I love
Landau,
Dave.
When he comes back to Detroit, forget about it.
Yeah.
The king
I'm
has
sure.
returned. And I mean, right, and I say right, that right. with love because Dave's fantastic. But
Yeah,
that's
best.
The thing. You go away, you have some success somewhere else, and you come back. That's what we want from Detroit, right? Detroiters want that.
You can leave,
you just got to come back.
Exactly. I think that's a vibe all over the Midwest where it's very similar in Ohio where it's like, I mean, we look at Ohio with LeBron.
Yeah.
We're like, go win your stupid little championship with LA, but you got to come home.
Come back. Yeah, that's great. Well, yeah, I think, I mean, you grew up in Ohio, Michigan, really not that different, very similar.
Right.
As much as we hate each other, I think that's probably because we're so similar.
Exactly. It's like when you're so close with my brother and I were, you know, two sides of the same coin and that our like political beliefs were both so far the opposite way that we almost are saying the same thing.
Yeah. Michigan, Ohio, that whole thing. But I think I know because I know Comedy Castle just in particular. First of all, I went. It was the last time 19 for you at our club. Or have you been back?
No,
since?
I've been back since the pandemic, but only once.
In one time.
So I did 19. Obviously, nobody did 20.
Yeah, we were closed almost. I mean, we opened for a little bit at the end of 20, and then the governor said, you have to shut down again.
Yeah. I think I've only been back once, though. I don't remember if it was, I think it was 20, either 21 or 22, because I wasn't there last year. It wasn't 2023.
Because I had you on the, Tom McCarthy interviewed you in 19 for this show.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, so it was, I know that one. And then I was back one more time. It was a summer.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it was 21, I want to say.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure I would have seen you, but I see a lot of people.
I know, dude. We're always running into thousands of people. I am very excited to come back to Royal Oak, though. Like, I just love that whole area. It's so cute. And it's, I mean, when you talk about walkability and how things in New York City are convenient, I feel that same way in Royal Oak.
Royal Oak's a city for sure.
It's so cute, and it's got that main drag that's got everything you could ever want, including the comedy club.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, what's the place that we go to after the shows?
Well, you might go to
the cheese on fire.
You go to Coney Island probably.
Yes, and they do the Opa.
Opa, that's it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Saganaki, I think that's called.
Yes. Oh, my God, I'm so looking forward to that.
Well, you can enjoy that every night on your three nights at Comedy Castle this week coming up. Yeah, it's great. I know you would come in and open for people. We've got Dave Attell there this weekend as we're recording this.
Yeah.
And you would open for Dave, and then you came out and started headlining and well-deserved.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in the Midwest my whole comedy career up until January of this year. So it's so funny because, you know, a lot of people be like, well, how do you get on the road? How do you get on the road? And I'm like, man, I learned from the old timers where it was like, I would travel to host, you know, I'll do whatever you need me to do. And then you come up through the clubs where it's like, okay, you host for a year, you come back, you feature for two, and then hopefully you're good enough to headline, you know?
Well, and you did that and you're successful.
Yeah.
Now, if you were starting today, you'd go right on TikTok.
Oh, exactly. Completely different. I don't have any advice for. I'm like, I don't know, man.
Do some
take
dumb
your pants
shit
off on the internet. Yeah. I have no idea what to tell you.
You'd go on TikTok. You'd do some dumb shit. You'd sell out the Comedy Castle on a Tuesday, and then you'd never draw again. No, I don't know.
I mean, no shade to those people, but it's so funny because I have friends that are like, oh, this person is selling out all over the country, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, and they're going to do that once.
Yeah.
Like that person is going to have an 18-month career and then realize nobody's going to come back. It's not like TikTok. It's not like the internet where you can entertain people 15 seconds at a time. 45 minutes is a long time to be
sure
on stage,
you know? Yeah, I think that is sort of the weakness. And I make fun of the TikTok people, even though like we do have people that come through that are from social media and stuff that actually surprise me with how good they are and how they do it. But yeah, there's the guys that come, they draw once, and then it's like, people saw it. They had fun.
And it's,
they took a picture.
And it is not, they saw the famous person from the internet.
They took a picture with you. That's what they wanted to do.
You're not going to get the same caliber of show. And I'm not saying I'm better or worse than anybody out there. But what I am saying is that with 12 years of experience, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Experience can't be replaced.
Exactly.
By popularity.
Well, and like you said, opening for those guys like Dave Attell or even Dave Landau, where like you learn so much just from watching, just sitting quietly and watching how someone like that works. Yeah. And I'm not saying mimic what they do. No, you shouldn't be stealing anybody's act.
Yeah.
But just to watch the way they work a crowd and how they interact with the staff and what it's like to be a professional comedian, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely a thing you got to learn. You got to do it. It's a trade. That's what I like to say. It's a trade.
Oh, for sure.
It's an art, and you want to be funny, and you're creative, and you're doing all of that. But it's also not unlike being a plumber, and you got to learn. You got to apprentice. And
that's the whole point of middling. That's the whole point of being a feature act, is to go in and learn how to do this.
Yeah. Who were the guys or the girls that took you around? And really, we talk about Attell in that, but.
So Attell's taking me on the road. Pre-pandemic, I was out with him quite a bit where we would go around the Midwest because, he doesn't always drive in from shows. And when he does, he'll bring people from New York as much as he can. But if he was around the Midwest, he'd usually have me come open for him. And then I don't know if you guys are familiar with Dan Cummins.
Yeah.
Super funny. His podcast blew up huge over the pandemic. So he's been selling out theaters and everything. He swooped me up probably around 2019. And then we toured together up until this year. And so he's taken me out more than anybody. Nice. And Dan's a storyteller. So it's great to see how to craft or how he crafts, a 20-minute story that's, funny every bit along the way and building tension and releasing tension. And so that's a cool thing to learn from him. And Attell's a joke writer, like Dave Attell is like in your face with punchlines every 10 seconds, So it's so cool to see how those different guys work and they're the nicest people ever, which is so great. But as far as they're really the only two who've taken me out. But I love Kathleen Madigan. She's one of my favorites. I've never even met her, but she is one of the people that like anything she puts out, I'm like, God, this is so good. She's so funny. And she's just so down to earth and relatable that I'm like, oh, this is the type of humor that I like, So I'd say those three have been huge influences on me.
Yeah, and the thing about Kathleen is, and I always say because she sold out so many shows at our club over the years, and people say, what's the appeal of her? And I say, the people that come to watch Kathleen feel like they're talking to their funny friend.
100%. And that's what I love about her so much.
Yeah, you get that thing. And again, that takes time to develop.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get that.
It's almost like masking a joke where it's like, I don't even want you to feel like I'm telling you jokes. I just want you to feel like we're kind of hanging out. And you're like, wow, what a good night we had,
It is. Now, how long with the radio thing? How long has that been for you?
So I started filling in, sporadically doing live shows and things like that with them in like 2018. I signed on full time in 2020, actually February or January of 2020. So it's so funny the way that it worked out, right? So I was filling in all of 2019. They had another girl who was out on sick leave for, you know, intermittently throughout the year. And then they offered me the position in December of 2019. And I had all my money saved away. I was ready to move to New York. I had everything ready. And I was like at a serious crossroads where I was like, this is a really good job. It's in my hometown. It's radio. It's still entertainment. It'll help me boost sales. It's something. It's a new challenge. I'm good at it, you know. But then I was like, but New York, it's there. Mm-hmm. I want to go. I've always wanted to go just to see if I can do it. And so I decided to take the job and stay in Cleveland in January of 2020. And then 2 months later, everything shut down.
Good call.
And I am so glad. Oh, my God. It was a lifesaver. Yeah. It was an absolute lifesaver because we still came into the office every day. Mm-hmm. So for us to actually be able to leave our houses and go into radio, it was, what were they called? Essential workers.
Essential workers, of course.
Yes, because it's like we're disseminating information.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't shut the radio down. So that was an absolute lifesaver. And then here we are 4 years later. I ended up being able to come to New York anyway. So pretty cool stuff.
All the dreams are coming true for you.
We're trying to make it happen, you know.
Well, if people come out this weekend, then we'll know. They got to come out. Make that dream happen for Mary.
Please. I know it's so hard in the Midwest in the summer because everyone's like, well, we only get 9 days of sunlight. So, yeah.
Well, you know what? We had a couple weeks of that. And then I think that with this week, it's so oppressively hot in Detroit that people just want to go inside. They're looking 100%. For inside stuff. 100%.
Yeah. Where it's like, it's 96 degrees during the day. So just take a nap and gear up. And then when it cools down to 85, you know, you can go out and have dinner and come into the shows. I'm so excited. I really do love the club. It's so much fun. And like I said, I'll never not love performing in Michigan. I went to school in Toledo. Okay. So I was up in Michigan for the majority of my first few years of comedy. I was getting booked in Michigan more than I was in Ohio. So I've been very familiar with Detroit and Royal Oak specifically and this club for years and years and years. So I'm very excited to come back.
So aside from our club, does living in New York City inhibit the road? Does it make that more challenging? Does it make you not want to leave New York to go places?
Definitely. Well, the big thing about coming here is that like you really have to be here. Like if you're going to move here and then I was working between 30 and 35 weeks a year on the road, that doesn't make sense here because I'm paying so much money to live here. Yeah. And so are all of the other A-list headliners are leaving every weekend. Mm-hmm. So like, if you want to get good spots at clubs, a lot of those are Thursday to Sunday, you know? So it's like, if I'm not present here, what was the point of coming here anyway? Right. So I've cut back. I was doing 2 to 3 weekends a month on the road, sometimes 4 in a busy month.
Yeah.
I cut it back to pretty much 1 because I'm like, you know, I know the road is there. I've been doing it for 12 years. I have great relationships like with you guys and clubs that I have been playing for a decade that if I take a year or two to really focus on New York, and then also you get to kind of pick and choose where you can go back to your favorites, you know, like, you know, your guys, Mark Ridley's where it is such a phenomenal club that yes, it is worth it leaving the city. Cause it used to just be a 3-hour drive. Now you're talking planes and rental cars and this and that. And you kind of got to pick and choose like, okay, well I can't take every gig. So I'm going to take my favorite gigs, you know?
Yeah. So these bars and towns with one headlight, you're saying you're not going to them anymore? You're not.
I'm not going out of my way to go to them anymore.
I mean, the Indiana biker bars are missing talent, Mary. Come on.
And they're hurting and they miss me so much. And I know that those are my people. Any Midwest hillbilly is just the love of my life. Trust me. Trust me when I say that, that you are my people through and through, but just not this time.
Yeah. You know, I stopped doing those. This is my 25th year in comedy this year for me personally. Yeah. And I stopped doing the road, you know, full time in 12. So it's been 13 years. You couldn't pay me. You know how they say there's gigs you couldn't pay me to do. I don't think you could pay me to go to one of those bars and do a one nighter at this point. I don't know. Maybe they're better. Some people say they're better now than they used to be.
No, they're not. You know exactly what you're getting. They're not better. Come on.
Thank you.
You know, it's so funny. I went and did a couple weeks ago. There was this outdoor festival, the Flag Festival in Davison, Michigan.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
And they had like a under a pavilion. You're at a fair. Yeah. Okay. There are fair rides and corn dogs. And I was like on the fence about taking it because again, I'm coming from New York. I'm like, okay, well, I could go home for the weekend. I could see my family. And I take it and it was incredible. And some of those small town gigs where 400 people show up because there's nothing else to do in the city. And I'm like, man, some of these are the most fun you're going to have, you know? So every once in a while you'll catch a really good one. But then most of them are, like you said, the Indiana biker bars. We're like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and skip it.
Yeah, I know. I did them. I lived on that money for a long time.
We all did.
Thank God I don't have to do that anymore.
Oh, geez.
Be at the Comedy Castle helping you out.
Yes, please.
Making my money that way.
Perfect.
Yeah. We're having such a good year at the Comedy Castle. It's a great time.
Good. That's great.
We're rocking. You know, that live events bounced right back after the pandemic, didn't they?
Well, people were desperate for it, man. You got to have some kind of a human connection. I will say, I'm glad that people are finally learning how to be in public again.
Yes.
Because there was that, like, 21-22 was tough because I'm like, I get it. You've been drinking at home. You've been doing self pours of liquor and you don't understand what it's like to be around human beings anymore, you know? I would say last year and this year have just been so great. So great to have everybody back out and, you know, you're back having a once in a lifetime experience. Yeah. That same group of people is never going to be in that same room again. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Great way to put it, Mary. We'll get you out of here on that. We'll see you this weekend. Everybody show up for Mary Santor.
Come see me, Royal Oak. I miss you.
Come on. Thanks, Mary.
No problem. Right. Bye.
Nice talk. Genuinely nice person, Mary Santor. Wishing the best for her. That's what you do when someone you like is, you know, you like is doing their thing. You love to see it. You love to see success. You love to see somebody taking a bold step and moving to New York City to pursue comedy. That really makes me feel nice. And she's a delight to talk to. You guys are going to love her. If you haven't seen Mary yet, come on out this weekend. It's going to be a fun time. Again, my student showcase is this coming up Tuesday. It might even be today as you're hearing this. So don't skip out on that one, guys. You're going to see some really, really great stuff. I got 11 of former and current students performing, and they are an absolute riot. It was a pleasure to teach those guys, and they're going to be performing for you. We got a beginner showcase, Cam Patterson on Sunday. Speaking of Cam Patterson, if you here's a hot tip for you. If you're a fan of this show, make sure to refresh your feed or check ComedyCastlePodcast.com later in the week. Could there be a very special show later this week? There could be. Maybe there won't be, but there could be. I'm hoping there will be. But yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Let's catch you out of here. We'll catch you next time here on the Comedy Castle Podcast. All right, bye-bye.